my heart for this past week is the submissive servant. The submissive servant. And I want to first say this. I can't find a greater example of a servant in the Bible other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he was the best example of a servant that there ever was. The reason why I believe that is, for number one, he was submissive. I believe today that he came into the world knowing what all he had to go through, but he was submissive. He was obedient to the Father's will. We read, if we go to the book of Philippians real fast, in the second chapter, this is where some of our thought is going to be at this morning. It's Philippians chapter 2, and starting there with verse 7. Well, let me actually go back to verse 5. Paul started off this writing in this second chapter, and in that fifth verse, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And I'm going to stop right there just for a few moments of time. Now, what we get out of this letter, this part of the letter that Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, that he, first in this fifth verse, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, I understand this morning that we cannot be exactly like Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus, there is no other man that walked the face of the earth that was sinless, that was perfect, other than Jesus Christ. But I can tell you this morning, we can do our very best to be like him. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews to get rid of the sin, let go of the sin that so easily besets us, that so easily hinders us, that so easily separates us from the service of God. I believe today that we can't be exactly like Jesus, but we can try our very best to serve him and have the same mind that he had whenever he went and tried to serve God here in this life. He was submissive. He was obedient. We read it said in that seventh verse, "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." This morning, there should be no reputation about us. We shouldn't try to seek after the approval of men, but rather the approval of God. In the book of Galatians, it's probably one of my favorite parts to sound in the Bible, but it says in the first chapter of Galatians, "For we are not called to please men, but we're called to please God. But if we've yet pleased men, we should not be the servant of Christ." I believe today that there's going to be things today that we preach and we believe and the things that we act and try to do that the world is going to be against us and heavily disagree with it. But that is okay. Because we're not called to please the world. We're called to please God. And there were several things while Jesus was upon this earth. He had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high rulers of Jerusalem, the high rulers of Israel. They was totally against Jesus. And they went as far as to crucify this man. Matter of fact, we read that one of the thieves on the cross, he recognized and he knew that there was no fault found in the man, Jesus Christ. But Jesus told us in the 17th chapter of John, you see, I believe Jesus was a praying servant. I believe we can find several points in the Bible, several pages that he went to his Father in prayer. He continually talked with his Father. And I believe that we can find in the 17th chapter of John that he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane there before the soldiers went and imprisoned him, caught him. But he prayed for his servants, and he said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He told his disciples and he forewarned them, he said, this world will hate you, but remember it hated me first. You see, Jesus was God's servant. Made himself no reputation, didn't really, I believe, I believe that he cared for the people that was around them. I believe that he cared for the acts of the people, and he tried his very best to be a light to them. But I also believe that when it came down to it, that the opinions of man really wasn't high on his priority list. I believe when it came down to it, being submissive to man and the teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees wasn't really high on his priority list. And I'm not saying this so that you can go out and say, well, Brother Barber told us to be rebellious. No, I'm not telling you to be rebellious, but I'm telling you this morning that we need to be a submissive people to God. We need to be obedient to God. That's what that word submissive means, is to be obedient to Him. Paul said in that letter to Philippi, as we read in that fifth verse, let this same mind be in you. As Jesus made himself of no reputation, as Jesus became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, let this same mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Now, I do believe today that, as I made mention, that Jesus was a prayerful servant. I believe 100% in the power of prayer. I believe prayer works. I believe that when it comes to nothing else, I believe that the kindest thing that anybody can ever do for me is to pray for me. It's to lift up my name to the Heavenly Father Himself. That's the kindest act that I believe anybody on the face of this earth can do. But I'll tell you this morning, when it comes down to it, we don't even know how to serve God unless we stay in communication with God. We don't know what God really wants us to do in this service if we don't ask Him. Now, I believe this too. You get out of the service what you put into the service. There's some people who say, well, now I really didn't get nothing out of that. Well, how much did you really put into it? Did you put all your focus, all your attention, all of your fleshly mind into serving God? Now, I can 100% tell you this, all this traveling that me and my wife do, it wears us out. But I heard a preacher say one time, if you're going to wear yourself out for God. If you're going to exhaust yourself for God. And nothing else in this world. Because nothing else, when it comes down to it, really matters other than obeying God. other than being the servants of God. Now, I do really believe that when Jesus was on this earth, he was in as the flesh of man. He became man. I believe that he even experienced the very same things that we experience today. I believe, and this is just Micahism, but I believe that when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, I believe that he got a little afraid of the pain that he was going to go through. He went there to God and he said, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." But he said, "Nevertheless, not mine will, but yours be done." It's not about our will. It's not about what we want. That's part of being a servant to the Most High King. It's not about what we want. It's about what God wants. And I believe God knows, you know, and I've said this plenty of times, I believe God knows what's going to make a service a great service. I believe God knows what's going to make a revival a great revival. It's not the preacher, it's not the deacon, but folks, we need to put every ounce that we have in us into serving God. It's the seeking after the salvation of the lost souls. You know, Jesus there, whenever he was hanging out with people, you know, whenever he went to the world and tried to be a light, he found himself, you know, you read that he found himself mostly with the lowliest and the sinners. But you know what? I believe, you know, as what Brother Danny said this morning in Sunday school, that God, in the book of Corinthians, it tells us that God hath chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Just because the world doesn't see much in us as God's people don't mean God don't. And I'm saying that as 100% honest truth. I believe that when the good Lord saved us, he didn't just save us so that way we can just sit on the bench. But he saved us because there's a purpose. There's a reason. When God put this church here, I believe, at East Base Road here in Columbus, Indiana, you know, I believe that he put the church here for a purpose, for a reason. And that reason was to be the light that sits upon the hill that cannot be hid. We read in the book of Matthew, as Jesus was going to his disciples and talking about being that light, he said, "Ye are the light of the world, a city that sits on a hill that cannot be hid." And he goes in the book of John and he said that I'm the true light of the world. But you know what that means? You know, for years, that really confused me. For years, trying to study the word of God, that really confused me. And I found a conflict within that. I said, "Well, Lord, why would you say the church is the light of the world, but then turn around and say you're the light of the world?" See, one year we took a family vacation down to Tybee Island, Georgia. And in Tybee Island, Georgia, there was this Tybee Island Lighthouse. And you see, as the woman was talking to us there, she said, "Well, you see the LED light bulbs here in this lighthouse? There used to not always be LED light bulbs in there." And of course, me being the 22-year-old that I am, I don't even imagine, I can't even remember a world without light bulbs, you know. But I tell you what, she said that back then there was oil lamps. And it caused that light to shine. But every now and then, that oil lamp would cause that window to get a little greasy, to get a little dirty. And before the lighthouse keeper or after lighthouse keeper started his shift, he had to go up and he had to make sure that the windows were clean. The reason why is because those windows stayed dirty the way they were, that light would be dim. Dim to the point that the captain of the boat couldn't see land until he got right up on it, ready to hit it. And you know what? That sort of clicked me. You know what that means? The church is the lighthouse that sits upon the hill warning people. But you see, the light that we try to lift up on a day-to-day basis is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." It's not about lifting us up, but it's about lifting Jesus up. Because Jesus is the only one that can still save souls today. He didn't leave that up to mankind, and I believe that there was a good reason that he didn't leave it up to mankind. In Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I believe there's a good reason why he didn't leave it up to us. Because if he left it up to us, we'd be bragging on ourselves. We'd be saying, "Well, look what I done over here. Look what happened." You know, whenever I went out and bought my first car, it was a Ford Fusion. It was a 2014 silver Ford Fusion. I bought that, saved up some money. Whenever I got out of high school and started working, saved up some money and bought it. I was proud of that thing. Let me tell you what. I bragged about that thing to every single one of the people I graduated high school with. To every single person that I went to work with, I bragged about that. But you see, in all reality, it wasn't mine to brag about it. I believe everything that we have, God gives it to us. I believe everything that we have, whether it be a car or a house, God lends that to us for a few moments of time. And you know, I got real heavy and real prideful about that car. And you know what? I believe that God cannot use a servant if his heart is full of pride. I believe God uses a servant that's humble, that knows his place in the Lord's service, that doesn't uplift himself any higher than what he thinks he is. I believe God uses those who are humble, who are obedient, and who are willing to serve after him. And I believe that's the main thing, too, is being a willing servant for the Lord. Jesus said, "If any man would follow me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross and follow after me." It starts with getting ourselves out of the way. And I tell you what, when it comes to salvation, it starts with getting ourselves and everything that stands between us and God out of the way. And that's how it is when we try to continually serve God, because it's, once again, folks, it's not about me. You know, there's some things about me that you'll find out. I'm really prideful about some things. I really am. And I'm ashamed of that. I'm really prideful about some things. But you know, at the end of the day, I have to realize that if I don't watch myself, I'll create an idol god out of that. And you know what? I believe the very first commandment that the Lord gave Moses in those 10 commandments, the very first one says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And I believe that was number one because that's really important. And then we go further along in the 10 commandments and it tells us, "Thou shalt worship no graven image." There it is, idolatry again. Folks, if you don't watch yourself, You'll create an idol out of anything in this world. Amen. If you don't watch yourself. If you're not careful. You know that silver 2014 Ford Fusion that I bought with my saved up money in the bank account? I tell you what, that became an idol god for a little bit of my time. I tell you what, work at one point in time became an idol god for me. I tell you, there was this point in time in my life that I was worried about chasing that almighty green dollar bill. But you know, at the end of the day, it took me a couple years to realize this, but at the end of the day, that green dollar bill, it's just a piece of paper. And at the end of the day, that Fusion that I bought and that piece of paper that I got, that thing won't go to the grave with me. And you know what? Jesus said, "What profits a man if he shall gain this whole world and loses his own soul?" Amen. What does it profit a man for him gaining this? I believe today, folks, we need to be real watchful with what we do with ourselves. Keep a self-control. self-examination on ourselves. I believe that the Bible, in the book of Psalms, I believe one of the writers tells us, it said, "Search me, O God. Show me if there be any wicked way in me." And I will, and I can for one tell you this: if you tell God to show you if there's any wicked way in you, or if you tell God to show you what's your problem or the things that's in your way, you better be ready for a harsh answer. You better be ready, because it's gonna hurt some feelings. I know it sure hurt mine. And I can tell you this, folks: if we're not careful, this whole world will swallow us up, and it will swallow that light, and it will cause it to go dim. That's why it is important to be that lighthouse keeper and to keep our windows clean. Keep ourselves clean. Keep ourselves as clean as we could be. You know, Jesus, when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane in the 17th chapter, in the 17th verse, he told God, he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth." That word is truth. That word sanctify means separation. You know, I believe that the second the Lord, you know, I'll tell you this, the second the Lord saved my soul, you know, that the process after that became sanctification, separation. And I can tell you this, after he saved my soul, he showed me who my Father truly was. I can tell you this, the chastising hand of God, it's real. But I can tell you this, I love, even though that chastising hand of God from time to time is dreadful, I love knowing that my Father cares enough about me to chastise me. Amen. You know what he said in the book of Hebrews? He said that the Lord loves those who he chastises. And I can tell you this, those who he chastise not, and this is what the book of Hebrews says, he said, they're like masters. It said that they don't have a father. They don't know me. And folks, if you don't feel the chastising hand of God from time to time, then you better pray. You better seek out some answers. You know, growing up, I can tell you this. I have a lot of respect for my father. I really do. But I also have a lot of love for my father. The reason why, because growing up, for some reason, give you a little inside story about myself. I was the trouble child growing up. You want any other stories, I'll tell you later. But you know, I was the trouble child growing up. And there was one day, I don't know what I'd done, but I was in trouble. And my dad, he took me to my bedroom there at the back of the house at that time. And he got his leather belt in hand and ready. But then that man broke down and cried. And I had never seen him do that before. And he looked at me and he said, "Son, I want to let you know firsthand, this will hurt me a whole lot worse than it's going to hurt you." And I never really understood that. And to a point, I still don't understand that. But I could tell you this from reading the scriptures, that chastising hand comes from love. And I believe God the Father loves us enough to chastise us. To the point, I believe that, you know, in the book of Proverbs, it says, "Spare not the rod." And I believe that we serve a father who doesn't spare the rod. But I can tell you this, he loves us enough to correct us. And folks, from time to time, when we see that correction and that correction takes place, we need to take a step back and see what we're really doing with ourselves. Whether or not we're really serving God, or serving the things of the world. We're called to be servants, not to be bench warmers. And I can tell you this right now, folks, I believe that if God had called the man to preach, I think, Brother Scott, that he's going out and preaching places. Because I believe that if God has called the man to preach, you know what he needs to be doing? He needs to be out preaching. But you know what? Those of us who have been saved by the grace of God and we're not preachers, that doesn't give us an excuse. Because we're called to be servants,
not to just sit down on our seat from Sunday to Sunday, not to just let sermons or things that's been said come in one ear and out the other, but to take them to heart and to serve God out of the fullness of the heart.
We read in that 26th chapter of Matthew when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went one time to pray. He left the disciples there and came back. And guess what? They were asleep. And he said, "Can you not tarry with me 1 hour?" So he went back to prayer. And he found them back asleep. He said, "Can you not tarry with me just for 1 hour?" It happened a third time. And he came back. He found his disciples asleep. He said, "The spirit is willing and the flesh is weak." He said, "Sleep on." And you know, that's always struck a chord with me, and I thank Brother Danny for bringing that out in Sunday school this morning. Are you spiritually sleeping right now? Are we asleep in the Lord's service? May not act like, you may not seem like you're asleep, but in all reality, do we really care about what the Lord wants, or are we trying to serve Him? Are you asleep? You know, I believe, you know, there's a song that a good old sister used to sing down there in Livingston, Tennessee, at a sister church there. It said, "Wake up, sleeping giants." And the reason why she sung that song was because, and in that song it said that the church has been asleep for far too long. We just went on and we just played church instead of really having church. Folks, I tell you what, it's about time that the church wakes up out of her slumber. And it's about time that we get down to business and serve God the way that He needs to be served.
Amen.
It's about time that we stop fooling with the things of the world and we start trying to set our hearts upon the things that are above. Because the things that are here on earth, they won't last you. You know, I could tell you this. We read in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. In the 11th chapter, a whole lot of people, they call it the Hall of Faith, the chapter of faith. And we read that about several servants, it says, "By faith they done this. By faith they done that." But in one servant against this says, "By faith Abraham sojourned in a land, traveled and knew not where he was going. But he considered himself a pilgrim." Folks, if you're saved by the grace of God, you know what we are? We're just pilgrims throughout this earthly land. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And praise God that my hopes are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me on heaven's open door. And Lord, I just can't feel at home in this world anymore. And how true that statement really is. Because if we feel at home in this world, then there might be something wrong with our priorities. Might be something wrong with the way we're living. You know, we go on in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, and it talks to us about how Abraham at one point in time, it said, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Now, we read in the book of Genesis that God had blessed Abraham with Isaac, Abraham and Sarah with Isaac. And I believe that it was something, Isaac was something that they've prayed for continually and continually. I believe Abraham was a man of good faith. And I believe when it comes to serving God, we need to have some faith to walk with Him. But you know, Abraham, God gave Abraham Isaac. And I believe Abraham was so happy to have that child. But then God looked at Abraham and said, "You're going to have to offer him up." And so we read there in the book of Genesis
that Abraham, his son Isaac, they got him some wood, and they went up that mountain, they laid the altar down, got the fire going, and Isaac looked at Abraham and said, "Father, we have the wood, we have the fire, but where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham looked at Isaac and said, "Son, God will provide himself a sacrifice." Now, I do believe that that is one image that we see of Christ, that God provided the world a sacrifice. But I also believe that in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, that in the 19th verse, that it says that accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham had some faith in God, didn't he? And I believe that he was going to offer Isaac. I believe he was going to sacrifice Isaac. Until at one point, God told Abraham to stop and looked off in the distance, and there was a ram caught in the thickets. Boy, God provides, does he not? But I tell you this, folks, we need to have that faith that Abraham did. You know, there's a song that sort of I've been listening to. I don't know if it's one of our hymn books or not. But it says, "When I Lay My Isaac Down." And it talks about how there's things that get in between us and God. And in that song it says, "Abraham, it's you and Isaac, or it's me and you." At the end of the day, we have to really look and focus on who are we really trying to serve, God or us. We also read in 1 Corinthians that it tells us that we walk by faith, not by sight. I believe that there is a reason why Paul said that we walk by faith and not by sight. Because if you look and you just walk by sight and you look out at the things of the world, you're just going to continually be burdened down, downhearted, and I believe physically depressed. But if you walk by faith, looking towards God. You know, we read how Peter was out in a boat one night, and there was a man that was walking on that water. Jesus, wasn't it? And Peter said, "Lord, if that be you, bid me to come." So Jesus said, "Come." I believe that there's only been two men in the history to walk on water. Jesus, and I believe when Peter stepped out on that boat, he started walking on water himself. But you know what? We see how the second he started walking on that water, we see how the storm, it became boisterous, the wind was a-brewing, the water became a-clashing, the lightning was striking, and Peter took his focus off the man who he was walking to. And you know what happened? He started sinking. If we take our focus, our heart, and our mind off of Jesus Christ, we are going to sink. We are going to drown. Like what Peter did. And you know, Jesus, got his hand, and he picked it up, and you know what he said? "O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Why did you doubt? We also read how Jesus, he was talking to disciples, and he said, if you have faith just as small as a grain of mustard seed, you can look at this mountain, tell it, "Get over yonder, and it'll be gone from you." There's a story one time about a woman. She went, looked up, and she saw a big old mountain. So she bowed her head, she prayed, looked back up again, and she said, "Just as I thought, that mountain didn't move." I tell you what, not with that kind of faith. And I tell you this, some people say, "Now, Brother Barber, you do know that that's not talking about a literal mountain, right?" I don't care if it doesn't talk about a literal mountain, but I can tell you this, we serve a God that I believe can do all these things if we just pray and talk to him and have faith. You know, there was also a man one time, I believe, around the late 1800s, early 1900s, in Carthage, Tennessee, there was a man by the name of Bridgewater Wilburn, preacher. And you know, back in those days, everybody farmed to make a living. And there was one year, there was a drought. Then it rained for several weeks. Crops were dying. So a couple of people came to Bridgewater Wilburn, and they said, "Brother Bridgewater, do you mind if we go up to Mason's Hill Church, get on that altar, and pray for rain?" And he said, "Why, sure." So they went on to Mason's Hill Missionary Baptist Church there in Tennessee. They got on that altar and they prayed for rain. But you see, they didn't just pray for rain. One of them, whenever they came in, he brought an umbrella with him. You see, I believe that not only do we need to have faith, but we need to have expectation that God will deliver. You know, we read in the 78th chapter of Psalms how the writer was giving us a history lesson of the children of Israel, how they were wandering 40 years in the wilderness there. It said that they tempted God and they spake against God, saying, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" You see, when you use "can God," you're doubting what God can do. But folks, instead of saying, "Can God," I believe in our prayers, we need to say, "God, you can. God, you're able. God, just let me be willing." You know, it even said that they spake against God, they tempted God, but further on in that chapter, I believe in the 22nd verse, maybe somewhere in there, it said that they limited the Holy One of Israel. I tell you what, folks, I believe God has unlimited power, but I believe as His people, we limit Him sometimes. Sometimes we act like He's just this genie in a bottle. And sometimes we sort of treat Him like what I do, my spare tire, and I don't think about Him until the time I really need Him. And I can tell you this, in that Ford Fusion of mine, I actually forgot I had a spare tire in the back. So I'm on the interstate. I was headed to school to get my barbering license. And I hit a big old branch that fell off the truck. Wasn't paying no attention. Got on the side of the interstate. My tire was completely demolished. Flat to be. I started panicking. Didn't know what to do. I'm on the side of the interstate, an hour from my parents, an hour from school, didn't know what to do. So I ended up calling somebody. I said, "Hey, can y'all help me with this flat tire?" I forgot that there was a flat tire in the trunk. So they came up and showed up, and they said, "Well, do you have a flat?" I said, "No, I don't think so." They opened up the trunk, and boom, there it was. And I was embarrassed over that. But folks, I can tell you this. We don't need to be treating God like that. We don't need to be treating Him like a spare tire. We don't need to be treating Him like a genie in a bottle, saying that God's just over here and He's just here whenever I want Him to be here. I believe that every single day, even when we're on the mountain or down in the valley, that we still need to talk to the Lord and serve Him like what we would any other day. The God on the mountain is still the God in the valley. And when things go wrong, He makes them right. And we talk of faith when we're up on that mountain, but it's down in that valley when it's put to the test. Amen. Folks, if we say we have faith in God, let's act like it. Let's serve Him like it. Let's walk by faith. Serve Him by faith. Be that humble servant. Be that submissive servant like Jesus was. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I believe that He knew at any moment of time. He even spoke to Peter after Peter went to one of the Roman soldiers and cut off his ear. Jesus said, "Have I not taught you that those who live by the sword shall die by the sword?" And then He turns around and says, "Do you not know that I can call more than 12 legions of angels to come down and rescue me?" I believe He knew the power of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Now, there's one more point that I do want to get to. You know, last year, 2020, I guess around February or March, we started to hear the term essential go around. And those who weren't essential workers couldn't go to work. They were non-essential. And I'll tell you what, Brother Mark, I guess me and you wasn't considered essential because they shut our shops down. But I can tell you this, that's okay. But I can tell you this, the church today is essential. Amen. The church is essential. That word essential means important to even to the highest degree. I believe the church of Jesus Christ, she is important. She's essential. And we need to treat her like she is. And we need to serve God like he's essential. Just because we're in a new year and it seems like some hard times may come, folks, the church is still essential. And we need to serve God like he is. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. I'm done. And I hope and pray that somebody got something out of this. But I above all pray that the Lord was just lifted up for a few moments of time. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song or two. Let us all stand and sing this morning.